Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, which can be found at www.stutterrockstar.com. Today, as always, I'm excited to chat with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I want to say hey to Sarah. Hey, Sarah, how are you today?
Hey, Pam, I'm doing well. Thank you.
It's so great to have you on the show. I'm delighted to have you as a guest today.
I'm really excited to be here too.
So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself to us, who you are, where you're from, and a little bit about what keeps you busy?
Sure. So my name is Sarah McIntyre, and I live in Brooklyn, New York, originally from Philadelphia. I recently moved to Brooklyn from Pittsburgh, where I spent the last few years, and I'm excited to be in New York, but I miss Pittsburgh a lot. I work as a speech language pathologist with people who stutter. At the American Institute for Stuttering here in New York City. And to keep myself busy, I love to be outdoors. So I like to run, ride my bike, and explore all the great food here in New York.
That sounds great. I've only been to New York City myself a couple of times, but I recall each time that I've been down there, I've always had some really good food. What's your favorite cuisine?
Oh, tough. I really like anything Thai or Vietnamese right now.
Yeah. I like Thai food. I've never tried Vietnamese.
It's pretty yummy.
Yeah, it sounds it. I like Asian, so I probably would like it.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you decide to become a speech language pathologist? Was that something that you always wanted to do?
You know, it was probably the exact opposite of what I thought I wanted to do. So I began in the finance world, and I worked for an investment consulting firm right after college. And this was right when I was starting to go to speech therapy myself for the first time. And it was something I wasn't thrilled about, but I was doing because I knew I needed to make some changes in my life. So while I was going through my own journey and working a completely different job than I am now, I found myself really interested in stuttering, and not just stuttering, but the idea of anybody who had a communication disorder that kept them from being able to be them and expressing themselves. So I started reading a lot and listening to podcasts, and over time I decided that I was going to go for it, and I was going to become a speech therapist so I could help others through their journey. And I found myself working in stuttering, which isn't exactly where I thought I would be. It's very difficult. The field is so big. It's very hard to just work with stuttering. And so I feel extremely lucky.
Now, you said that you started off in finance. Was that something that you had wanted to do, or did stuttering have something to do with that career choice?
I think stuttering had some to do with that career choice. I was good at math growing up, and I just found myself in the business college, and so I just naturally chose finance, I think, because of that. But there was an aspect of my decision that thought that I could probably sit behind a desk and crunch numbers if stuttering ended up having as large of an impact as I thought it would. So yeah, I think I played it safe a little bit.
And then and then what? Something in your life happened that propelled you to change course?
Well, I was what was an extremely covert person who stutters for so long that in my final year of college, I decided that I really needed to proactively do something about how I was living. And so my parents came up for dinner when I was a senior in college, and I decided I was having a lot of anxiety about the job search and about what I really wanted to do in life, that I was going to tell them that, I don't know if you guys know, but I still stutter. And so I did that, and my mom knew I still stuttered for the most part, I think, but my dad really had no idea that it was still affecting me the way that it was. And I think my journey was finding myself as me after that. And through that process, it took some time. So I did feel confident enough to get a job in finance, but I realized my heart was in something more that would require me to speak more and be around people, which I naturally like to be. So I knew the finance world wasn't forever.
Now, when you say you told your parents that you still stuttered, had you gone through a period when you were younger where you were stuttering and then suddenly stopped?
Well, yeah. So my mom describes it that as I started to stutter quickly after I started to talk, that it was pretty immediate. And I stuttered for a few years, and I started speech therapy in school when I started kindergarten, and I hated it. I mean, she would call me out of class, freeze class and say, "Sarah, it's time for speech." And I was just mortified that she was po pointing out something that my classmates might have forgotten about for a second, but were quickly reminded. And so I told my parents I didn't like going, and so they found a speech therapist outside of the school. And I went, and their advice was for my parents was to just ignore it, and it'll go away. So they ignored it, and then I quickly realized what my environment was telling me was success, which was not to stutter. So I got from a very young age very savvy at word switching and avoiding and all of that. And then over time, I definitely went through periods of time in my life where stuttering was a very small issue, and then other periods of time where I felt like I was avoiding all kinds of things left and right. So it was definitely an up and down journey as a child.
And your parents really thought that you just weren't stuttering anymore?
Yeah, I mean, none of my friends knew I stuttered. I remember telling them when I went to therapy at the American Institute for Stuttering myself back in the day, and I did a 3-week intensive program there, one of my tasks was to open up to my friends and my boyfriend at the time and all of these people in my life that I was hiding this from very, very well. Some of my friends didn't think I stuttered because I wasn't, I don't think it came out as stereotypic stuttering like you see on TV, but I appeared out of breath because I would push my words out. And yeah, so they, one or two of them said that they thought I had a breathing problem, but that they didn't know that I stuttered.
Wow. So you had pulled off this kind of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of persona.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. Yeah, I mean, I definitely look back and wish that I hadn't been so good at it.
So what was it that made you decide that you couldn't do it anymore?
Well, I think, and I'm sure anybody who stutters understands this, as time goes on and you build up more and more situations and word fears that you are trying to navigate around, but are getting less and less successful at, that it can feel really suffocating. And I think I let my anxiety really affect me even physically. So I wasn't the healthiest person at that time in my life. And I think having to get a job after college was really what was scaring me, because I was going to have to talk on the phone and I was going to have to do certain things that in my regular life, my social life and my academic life, I could get around those things easier.
And then and then that's when you decided to pursue therapy for yourself as an adult for the first time.
Yeah, so after I d disclosed the fact that I still stuttered to my parents, my mom and I really searched around for quality stuttering therapy. And unfortunately, because I was an adult, not much was it co covered by insurance. So I was extremely lucky to have found AAIS because they and we still do have a ton of financial assistance available. And so I was able to go for very, very low fees, which I probably wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. I'm very thankful. So I commuted. My parents live in Philadelphia. I commuted every day for 3 weeks, but back and forth from Philadelphia to New York on the bus.
Oh my God, how long of a ride was that?
I guess door to door, 3 hours each way. So it was a commitment.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess so. Wow. And I've heard people talk about intensive stuttering programs. What exactly is the 3 week in intensive at the American Institute for Stuttering?
Well, I think it's changed a lot, even from when I did it as a client myself. Back when I did it had a pretty equal focus on skill-based things and desensitization and advertising and all of those aspects of stuttering that aren't necessarily behavioral. Now, and that included fluency shaping techniques. Now we focus much less on fluency shaping and much more in creating effective communication. So maintaining forward moving speech and making sure that you are saying exactly what you want to say when you want to say it. So not avoiding situations or people or job opportunities. And doing so as a person who stutters and not necessarily trying to hide that. I think that was really helpful for me. I think for me, because I was so far in what I call this stuttering closet, that it was what was just the beginning of my journey. And I like to think of it as like an appetizer sampler. I got a little bit of everything there, and I had to figure out afterwards what was going to work for me, what combo did I need? Because, when you've met one person who stutters, you've met one person who stutters. And so you really have to take what you were exposed to and mold it into what you need to be successful.
Did they know when you came for the course that you were a covert stutterer?
Yes, they did know. I had d done a consultation, and so we had gone over a lot of my history and my attitudes towards stuttering, as well as how I typically handled physical moments of stuttering by not letting them out, I guess. So yes, they definitely knew, and I think the beauty of the intensive program for me when I went through it was meeting other people who stutter. I had never met another person who stutters, and I really had this ne negative connotation and negative stigma about stuttering, even though I did it myself. I had this idea that there weren't any successful people who stutter, or any social people who stutter. So that was really, really helpful for me.
That well, that's hard to believe that you had never met another person who stutters until you went to that program. You'd never encountered anybody in school?
I never did. I my d d d d dad's o oldest brother stutters, but we really rarely saw him, and I only recently realized that he stuttered because he's pretty covert himself. So yes, I had met another person who stutters, but he wasn't somebody who would allow himself to stutter openly. So it was a little bit of a different experience. I met Roisin McManus, who I know has been on your show before. The first day we went through the intensive program at AIS together, and I met her on the elevator, and I'll never forget it. She was talking on the phone. She had been locked out of her apartment, so she was calling her roommate, letting her know. She was like, "Hey, I'm about to start speech therapy for the day, but I locked myself out. I'm gonna need to come pick up a key, blah blah blah." And to watch somebody on an elevator who I hadn't been introduced to yet, but who was o openly stuttering and enjoying communicating on the phone in a closed space in the elevator, was just boggling my mind.
So, what did you do? Like, when she was done on the phone, did you stick your hand out and say, "Hi, I'm Sarah"? Or, I mean, how did you guys actually introduce yourselves to each other?
No way did I stick my hand out in the elevator. When we got to the 12th floor together, we kind of stepped out of the elevator, and I was like, "Oh, okay, so I think we're probably going to the same place." And that was when we introduced each other. It was a little bit awkward on my part.
So not only was she the first person that you met who also stuttered, but she is a female.
Yeah, exactly. And we're about the same age, and have a lot of the same interests. So it was really important for me to meet somebody who I felt like I could relate to in a lot of ways, who also stuttered. So I think that was a big part of the journey for me.
Now, were there other women in the intensive course that you took?
There actually were, and we now having worked there. Now talk about how this is very rare, but there was four women and two men in that in my intensive, which
Oh,
is
wow.
always the opposite ratio. So yes, there were two other girls.
Wow. So there was only six of you total in your in your course.
Yes, only six total.
So you must have gotten a lot of in individual attention then.
I thought that was a really nice aspect. We could really tell while we were there that it wasn't just a cookie cutter course, that it was really being individually molded to us as a group, which helped. I didn't feel like I was just being given the same recipe as the last group. I liked that.
I love the choice of words that you use to describe parts of the program. Earlier, you talked about an appetizer sampler, and now you're talking about cookie cutter and recipe and
Definitely food, huh?
yeah, definitely. But it's also you're also making it very clear to anybody listening that one size doesn't fit all, and that the it sounds like the therapy was very well tailored to what you needed. Is that true? Is that what I'm hearing?
I think it's even more true now than when I did it. I think that I still got the message a little bit when I was a client that, okay, it's good to be desensitized and it's good to be cool with stuttering, but here's also ways to not stutter. And so it took me a little while after the program to really digest that whole idea that, okay, it's okay to ch for me to not choose fluency shaping techniques in my everyday life, because as a former and what I like to call recovering covert person who stutters, that me using any sort of fluency shaping technique, even still now, would be like putting a Band-Aid on it, and not really getting to the root of the problem for me, which is to not hide stuttering. So, I think it took me a little bit of time after the program to sift out those things and to figure out what worked for me. But I am appreciative that we were exposed to everything, and we were kind of given the option to choose what was going to work for us. As somebody who t tends to have a pretty type A personality, where I think I can take a anything, and if I put enough effort into it and I work hard enough, that it's going to produce results. Well, I think I almost had to experience the journey of attempting to use fluency shaping techniques, because I think it taught me a lot about myself and really about what I needed. Like, I could hear from somebody else that I needed to continue to be desensitized and continue to just talk openly about stuttering with everybody in my life. But I think until I lived it myself, that was when it was re re really cemented into me.
So would you consider yourself now to be an o overt stutterer?
Yes, I strive to be. I think I think nobody's perfect, and I think there are still instances in my life where I find myself at first wanting to resort to some kind of tactic here and there. I mean, it's definitely significantly reduced. But I think what I see as progress and how I define success for myself is that I no longer dwell after a situation where I either stuttered my face off or I hid the fact that I stuttered. I kind of give myself a free pass here and there. I don't like to send the message that I'm this totally self-righteous, overt stutterer all the time. I think everybody's human.
And it sounds to me the way you say that you give yourself a free pass sometimes, that just sounds to me like you're kind to yourself. And I think that we all have to be kind to ourselves from time to time, because people who stutter, we tend to be overly critical, I think, of ourselves. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think because we can psychoanalyze our speech and ourselves so easily, I think we tend to be very conscious of the small things.
So you work at AIS now. How did that come to be?
Yeah, I feel so extremely lucky. Well, I graduated from the University of Pittsburgh in May, and I was looking for a job. And I was initially going to work for an elementary school, and I was all set to move. I was living with my parents in Philadelphia for the summer, and I was ready to move to Northern Virginia. And then I got a phone call from Dr. Heather Grossman, who's our director. And she said that there was a job opening, and would I be interested in interviewing for the position? And I said, yep, I can come up as early as tomorrow. And so it ended up working out really well. It was something that kind of spontaneously came about. And I'm really happy that it did.
What's it like being a SLP there now, after having gone through the program as a client? What's it like working there?
Really fun,
Ha
but it's also a pretty full circle experience, I think. Coming into the position as somebody who was a previous client has really helped me in a number of ways. I think I really gain a lot of clout with some of the adult clients who might be a little skeptical of aspects of the program or what they heard, or skeptical of even putting themselves in the position of having to advertise that they stutter and all of those things. I think that being a person who stutters and also a previous client has been very helpful. I think I'm really lucky to work with a group of people who really understand stuttering. And from my previous experience as a young child, I knew that not to necessarily always be the case. And so I'm feeling extremely lucky to be in a place where we really keep up with all different therapeutic theories and strategies, and we always have time to chat things out and to sit on in on each other's sessions. And I think it's a really great learning experience for me as a therapist, for me as a person, and also being able to share my perspective as a person who stutters, as a speech therapist there.
Are you the only speech therapist there who stutters?
I wasn't until re recently, and now we have Crystal Kubart, who works part-time after school now as well. And she is a person who stutters and actually is one of my close friends. So that's pretty cool.
That's neat. I know Crystal and I know Heather. I think I it does sound like you guys have a really good team. Are there more women that work there than men?
So it's he Heather C C Carl Herder and myself as the full-time speech therapist, and then Crystal is with us after school hours some days. So it's mostly more women. Oh, or it's always more women than men, but Carl is wonderful too.
I've never met Carl, but I'm Facebook friends with him, and I have followed the AIS blog on and off for a couple of years, so I've read some of his stuff. So yeah, it does seem like you guys have a really good team there. What would you say would be one of the best reasons to encourage an adult who stutters to consider the program at AIS?
I think one of the best reasons is if you feel like stuttering is holding you back in any way, shape, or form from who you want to be or what you want to do. I think that you'll find a lot of beneficial a aspects in the program. I think we really cater to each individual. So I think there's not one cookie cutter type of person that it's best for. I think whoever is there, we really make it work. We also do individual therapy too, if the intensive isn't really what you want or isn't feasible work-wise for you.
Oh, good. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that that was also an option as well. I thought the program was just the in intensive group programs.
Actually, most people do individual therapy. I think the intensives are wonderful, but it can be challenging for people to take time off of work. We're trialing a 2-week intensive in May in hopes of getting more adults that were turned off by the 3-week previous model. So we'll see how it goes.
And kind of wind down mode, because I'm always so surprised at how quickly this time goes. It seems like we've just barely scratched the surface. How would you say that stuttering has sh shaped shaped you as a woman?
Yeah, that's a good question. I th think it's made me a m more empathetic, hardworking person. I think I know how it feels to have something that you're constantly being challenged by, and I know how much hard work and dedication making change can be. So yeah, I think those would be the two things that it's done for me positively. Yeah, it's hard. It's funny because it's still hard to come up with positive things or what stuttering has done for me that I'm proud of. I do truly think it's made me a more empathetic, hardworking person, but it has also presented its challenges over the years, and I wish I was just a little bit more open and proud of it sooner on in my life.
And how did you get involved in the in the stuttering community, because I know that you're active in both the National Stuttering Association and Friends for young people. How did you find the community?
Well, I think that I was looking for an opportunity to stay connected with people who stutter after I finished the intensive. And I got involved initially with the National Stuttering Association, and then I realized how helpful and rewarding it is to work with young people who stutter through friends. Because I think one of my, as I mentioned before, my biggest regrets is not being me sooner, and not being my authentic self and owning this aspect of me sooner. And so to be able to share my experiences and words of wisdom, if you will, with younger people in any way, shape, or form, whether that be just hanging out or telling them my story or leading a workshop, I found that the very helpful.
Well, I'm certainly glad that you've shared a little bit of your story with us today for this podcast. I'm really grateful that we had this opportunity to have this conversation, and I just want to say thank you for sharing.
Of course. Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah, it definitely was. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.